Good morning. Really great to see you. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to spending a few minutes together in God's Word and considering a couple of things that have been revealed here, shared with us here. We're going to talk about God's law of sowing and reaping today. Let's start by thinking this way. We all adhere to and follow and acknowledge and seek to abide by certain laws. I'm not even talking about laws of the land, but things that are higher than that, that transcend even that. A scientific law is a description of an observed phenomenon. It means there's no known exceptions. That's the reason we classify such things like electromagnetism and thermodynamics and gravity and these kinds of things. We label them as laws because to the way that we have watched them and observed them, we recognize there's no known contradictions, no known exceptions. To ignore these kinds of laws in the natural world, the only thing we can say is it's foolish. Foolish to ignore these laws. What happens? What happens if you try to ignore some of these laws? Like, what if we were to try to ignore the law of gravity? One thing I think we'd probably get made fun of, but more than that, we'd get injured, get hurt, be harmed in some kind of way. Because if I decided to ignore the law of gravity, let's say I find myself on a tall building somewhere, especially one that looks out at other tall buildings, and I decide I'm just going to make my way to the top of this other building. I'm not going to go down to the bottom of this one with an elevator or stairs. I'm just going to make my way right across to this other building. What would happen? Would I make it? Would it be fun? Would I feel good about my decision afterwards? Or what if I decided, you know, I think certain things in my living space are making it too cluttered, so I'm going to take most heavy things that I own and put them above my head. That's where I'd like for them to stay. How's that going to work out? Again, it's going to be probably funny to people like Shane. You're going to like that. But it's going to hurt me. I'm not going to like it at all if I seek to live without the law of gravity. Well, what if gravity decided to take a day off? What if gravity decided today I decide not to work the way I always have? The atmosphere would be sucked into some kind of expansive vacuum in space. Everything would be destroyed. The universe itself would just become flat and featureless. In other words, all of us would cease to live. A law such as the law of gravity is not a matter of opinion. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It isn't going to change. And because of its consistent nature, scientists can use these laws to understand how to interact with the world around us. And we know of very few people who ignore these laws and pretend they don't exist. I hope that you can see where I'm going with this. I hope that you can understand. What would the world be like? What would life be like? How would it be to interact with the rest of the people that you know and love if all of us submitted to God's laws of morality, God's laws of doctrine, with the same level of certainty that we submit to laws like the law of gravity? Just like gravity, God's laws are constant. God's laws will help us interact with the world around us. And yet, for whatever reason, we very routinely witness people ignoring God's laws. We routinely witness people acting as if there's going to be no consequences for my flouting the law that God has given me. Maybe flaunting would be a better word to use. An accurate word. So often people are surprised when they violate God's laws and it doesn't work out well for them. Why did I find myself in this position? Why have I been hurt so? Why have I been left out of so many things? Why am I searching for what is up and what is down? Why am I... Have you ignored God's laws? So let's talk for a moment about God's law of sowing and reaping. If you're there in Galatians chapter 6, it's a passage that we know well. I appreciate Brother Glass reading for us. But all of us have heard this in one way or another. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever you sow, that you will also reap. Let's talk first of all about the reality of this law, the fact that it exists. Just like none of us would dispute or contradict the fact that the law of gravity exists, let's talk about the reality of the law of sowing and reaping. Go to that first slide. In this fact, we're talking about the reality of God's law of sowing and reaping. Here's where we begin. We have to be absolutely clear about this. You can't choose not to participate. Just like experiencing the law of gravity, I'm sorry, but you cannot choose not to participate. Now don't start saying, now wait a minute, join NASA and be put in certain chambers. Let's be common sense. Right here in this room, right now, you cannot choose to not participate in the law of gravity. Also, right now, right here, in this life of yours, you cannot choose to not participate in God's law of sowing and reaping. You may say, well, I don't make too many choices. I don't do too many things. I don't get out of the house too often. You cannot choose not to participate. By just participating in life, you are participating in sowing and reaping. Just think of sowing when you read that here in these passages, whether it's in Galatians 6 or somewhere else. I want you to maybe replace that word sowing with making a choice. You make choices routinely, all the time, over and over. You and I are making choices. Every day we're making choices. It's not a matter of if you'll make choices. It's only a matter of will you make godly choices or ungodly choices? Will you make Christ-like choices or choices that embarrass and wound and hurt Christ? You're not going to be able to opt out of choice making. And here's the next idea, right here in this same idea, that sowing includes reaping. Nothing that you and I do is ever done in a vacuum. Every choice we make bears consequences. Now, I recognize you may and I may classify things as sort of not as important to grand and huge and big choices, but every single thing we do, every choice we make brings some type of consequence. Our present conduct is going to determine our future condition. Let me share with you a phrase, an old saying you've probably heard somewhere before, but it bears repeating because it's biblical and it's helpful. It goes like this: sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The things that we do, even when they start off small, end up building. They're the building blocks of who we are going to become, who we are choosing to be each moment, each day in our lives. Recall last week I mentioned a rather unusual social experiment that was going to be shown on TV here this last week. This is that unique social experiment where they were going to see, the people producing the show were going to see if they could actually manipulate people into feeling as though they had no other alternative but to commit murder. Now imagine the scenario. They got these four different people, put them through the exact same paces, the exact same test, to see if they could finally get them to where these four people all felt like, I have no other choice but to push this person off of a ledge and test the law of gravity. I won't tell you how many of them chose to go through with it. It was startling. But here's the point I want you to see. Here's the point I want to make. It starts with small things. To reap corruption suggests gradual decay. The road to pushing somebody off of a building can actually start with something as small as the way you're going to label a tray of appetizers. Now, that doesn't make sense to you. Let me tell you what happened here. It's the first step in this little experiment. They brought the person in, and they had two trays. One tray full of sausage wraps and another tray that was just empty. And they said, oh no, we've run out of our vegetarian appetizers. Take this tray, split it in half, put half on this other tray that's empty, and then take all these flags and label them vegetarian. So knowing there's nothing here but sausage, take half of them and label them vegetarian. All four of them did it without any problems. Okay. And the host said, look, we know we got them. If they will give in to something that small, if they'll give in to something that easy, we've got them. We can now make them do something bigger later. And then make them do something bigger after that. And then make them do something bigger after that. It started with hors d'oeuvres. It started with appetizers. These are sausage and these are vegetarian. And you might be sitting there thinking, rolling your eyes, no, that is so silly. But I want you to make the connection to your life. What little bitty things have you just merely labeled vegetarian when what you've really done is deceive someone? What you've really done is lied to someone. What you've really done is taken the first step to being an outright deceitful person. The host said every time that somebody would take a flag and stick it in a sausage that said vegetarian, he'd look at the camera and say, we got him. And I can just imagine Satan celebrating the same way. Every time you and I do something small, starting that road to corruption, sowing those seeds of death, he says, we got our hooks in. Each choice we make has consequences. Some of the choices we make are going to turn out to be beautiful. Some are going to be tragic. But don't lie to yourself. Each choice we make has consequences. I want to quote from a Bible scholar by the name of John Stott. This is what he says about God's law of sowing and reaping. Every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fantasy, or wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company, whose insidious influence we know we cannot resist, every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up and praying, every time we read pornographic literature, every time we take a risk which strains our self-control, we are sowing, sowing, sowing to the flesh. Some Christians sow to the flesh every day and wonder why they don't reap holiness. Holiness is a harvest. Whether we reap it or not depends almost entirely on what and where we sow. He was expounding upon this. Don't lie to yourself. God's not mocked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. God cannot be mocked. What you and I must seek to do is stop pretending and stop lying to ourselves. We cannot continue to make selfish decisions, make unrighteous decisions, and not expect there to be negative consequences. When he says God is not mocked, among many other things, you know, the literal translation might be something like this: you can't turn your nose up at God. When he says God is not mocked, he's saying, look, you're not going to be able to do something, you're not going to be able to participate in some type of action where God's going to miss it. You're not going to do something that God's going to miss. You can do lots of things that your teachers and your parents and your grandparents, you can do lots of things that they're going to miss. You can't do anything that God's just going to accidentally miss. You also can't do anything that God's just going to ignore. He's just going to overlook, just going to act like. Lots of us will do that. Boy, I'm tired right now. I'm going to act like you didn't do that. I've got a million things going on here, a lot of irons in the fire. You didn't do that. I just want to go to bed. I'm going to act like you didn't do that. God doesn't get to that point. God doesn't ignore things that we have done. See, the lies that we tell ourselves, when he says, don't be deceived, don't lie to yourself. The lie we tell is that I can do whatever I want without being accountable. The lie is, what I'm doing is small, it won't hurt anyone. All I'm doing is putting a little flag that says vegetarian, it won't hurt anyone. The lie we tell ourselves is that what we're doing is small. Read with me, flip over in your Bibles to Romans 2. Consider what the Apostle Paul says here as it relates to sowing and reaping, as it relates to making choices, as it relates to the things that we do mattering. Making a difference. Romans 2, let's begin reading together at verse 3. Romans 2, 3. Now, do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet you do them yourself, meaning you condemn people who do the very things you do, do you suppose, O man, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, listen to this, might as well have said, because of the choices you are making, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Sounds very much like, for the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. If we think that we can get away with something, if we think that something is small, if we think that something is insignificant, but it's unrighteous, we're lying to ourselves, we're deceiving ourselves. We must remember, God cannot be mocked. Sowing also implies waiting. Not only includes reaping, but it also implies waiting. Look with me at verse 9, Galatians 6, 9. It says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. In due season we will reap. Sometimes the payoff is going to be down the road. It takes months to go from planting a seed to the harvest. We have to admit it. I know, speaking just for myself, I tend to be impatient. I'm weak when it comes to these kinds of things, and I think I'm just like a number of you. It's hard to maintain spiritual vitality. We often get tired. We often get burned out. The storms of life, the things that are weighing down upon us sometimes have just gotten us soaked to the bone. Sometimes the weights that are upon us just cause us to stoop and want to stop. Sometimes in our weariness, that's when temptation to sin is the strongest. And in an age of instant gratification, it's hard to wait for things to grow. James recorded it this way in James chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. James 5, 7, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's hard to wait for rewards when they've been promised. It's hard to wait for our faith to get stronger. It's hard to wait for somebody else to finally repent. It's hard to finally wait for someone else to come to faith in the Lord and want to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. And it's hard to seek to continue helping everyone. There's always someone who needs help. You know, Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. In other words, there's never, ever, ever going to be a shortage of people who need help. And because of that fact, because of the fact that there's never a shortage of someone who needs help, whether it's emotional help, spiritual help, physical help, financial help, there's always, that's us. There's always somebody who needs help. And so he says here, I know you're going to get worn out. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. I want to emphasize that last phrase, especially those of the household of faith. Helping, now listen to me, helping starts at home. Helping starts at home. Our families, our churches, it starts at home. Do we want to save the whole world? Do we want to go into all the world and make disciples? Yes, of course we do. But we have to give attention to our homes first. Do we want to save the world, turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ? Of course we do. But we have to give attention to our church family and our community first. Trying to save the world when there's work to do at home is sowing seeds of destruction. We cannot go and turn the world upside down somewhere else if our world is mixed up and messed up right here. Let us do good unto all, but especially those of the household of faith. I don't think that means ignore others. I don't think that means to the exclusion of others. I think that means you start here. You get your business taken care of, as the prophet would say to the king, set your house in order, because you're going to die. He says, get things in order here. Make sure that things are working at an optimal level here. And then we shall go on and tackle and take on and turn the world upside down. But this place must be what God wants it to be first. And then he says, as we have opportunity. Make no mistake when he says, as we have opportunity to do good. He doesn't mean, well, if you happen to stumble across a place to help. That's not at all what it means. The emphasis is on the fact that we've got a limited amount of time. A farmer or even a gardener, they know they have a limited amount of time when they can plant. There's the right time, the optimal time to plant. And then they know there's the right time, the optimal time to harvest. They're continually, the gardener, the farmer, they're continually on the lookout for the right time to do those things of planting and harvesting. I don't know of too many people that have corn on the stalk and say, well, today's a sunny day, it's a good day, but you know, I'll get to that one of these days. In fact, the way I've heard it is this. As soon as that corn is ready, you get the water boiling and get it ready to go, because as soon as you take that corn off the ear, that's the perfect time to put it in the hot water. Because as soon as you take it off, it starts, maybe you got a different theory than me, but that's the way I've always been told. Shucking it there in the kitchen with my grandmother, I'm getting ready to make some cream corn. As soon as it comes off, you want to put it in that hot water. Farmer doesn't say, ah, it'll still be there in a month. Ah, it'll still be there in 6 months. You know what? I like the way that corn looks. Let's get at it next year. No, they're looking for the optimal time to plant and to harvest. They know they have a limited amount of time. And so for you and for me, the same thing. When it says this, let us not grow weary in doing good. In due season we'll reap if we don't give up. So as we have the opportunity, let us do good. You don't have unlimited amounts of time. As the time presents itself, as the situation, as the person who needs help spiritually, physically, as that opportunity presents itself, take care of it. You don't have forever to deal with it. And so he says, so look, don't give up. Don't give up. We can't quit. We may get tired, we may get frustrated, we may get discouraged, but of all the reasons not to give up, the focus in this text here in Galatians 6 is this. There's coming a harvest. There's coming a time when you and I will have to answer for what we've done. There's coming a time we'll have to answer for the choices that we made. Coming a time we'll have to answer for the things we either did or did not say, the way we either did or did not capitalize on opportunities. Work today, do these things today, because the harvest is coming. That's just the reality. That's just the reality of what God says when he says there's a law of sowing and reaping. So very briefly, just very briefly, think with me about this. We've talked about the reality of the law, that there's no way of getting around the nature of God's law of sowing and reaping. So let's talk about the realm of the law, how far it extends. We've already said it goes to physical matters. Plant an apple seed, what do you get? You get an apple tree. Birds, what are they going to do? They're going to give us more birds. Fish, they're going to give us more fish. Cats, they're just going to give us more cats. And we don't need more cats. God has shown us, he's told us in Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis 1 verses 11 and 12. Look at Genesis 1, 20 to 22. Look at Genesis 1, 24 to 25. Here in Genesis 1, God says it again and again, whether it's the plants, the flowers, the vegetation, they produce after their kind. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. The animals produce after their kind. You and I, we produce after our kind. So the law of sowing and reaping obviously touches on and moves through and encompasses the physical realm. But the law of sowing and reaping also encompasses the personal realm. If you treat other people with contempt, you're going to get scorn. You're going to get loneliness. Remember the study we did some weeks back from the book of Proverbs that Brother David Shannon started when he asked us, or let me give you 40 reasons why people don't like you, and then look through the book of Proverbs about all these different ideas and different things about the way to act godly, the way to act like the world. Like it says in Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. In Proverbs 22, verse 8, whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. If you're wondering why you're isolated, if you're wondering why there are so many opportunities for you to butt heads with someone, why is there always tension? Well, what are you planting? What are you sowing? Because if you're sowing discord, the law of sowing and reaping says you're going to reap discord. James chapter 3 at verse 18, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, a peacemaker reaps peace. Sowing discord just brings heartache and headache. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7:12. You know it as the golden rule. Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You want others to treat you with kindness, you be kind. But if you're approaching things with rudeness, don't be surprised when you're treated rudely. Approaching things with impatience, don't be surprised when others have no patience for you. Sowing deception, don't be surprised when no one trusts you. And don't be surprised when you finally get to the point where you feel like you can't trust anyone else. On and on we could go. The law of sowing and reaping absolutely is a part of your personal life. If your relationships are strained, if your relationships do not feel like and look like what you want them to look like, consider what you're sowing. Consider what you're planting. Consider the choices that you're making. But then thirdly and most importantly, the realm of the law of sowing and reaping absolutely fits in the spiritual realm. If you live for yourself, you live a life of rebellion, unconcerned with the things of God, the commands of God, the ideas of God, well, then you're going to live a life of isolation from God. It goes like this. Engage in and enjoy sin. Punishment is coming. But love God, you get God. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5, the way that it had been discussed to see the dichotomy, the comparison and contrasting about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He would say it like this, sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But then at verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, sowing to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. God is very, very serious when he says you and I have choices, decisions to make. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 6, he says that whoever sows sparingly. Now the specific context here is about giving and being charitable and being a part of helping the work of God. But the point remains the same. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We live by the laws of God. We live by things like the law of gravity because we recognize it can't be changed. Plus, we don't want to injure ourselves. We don't want to seem foolish. We'd never be so foolish as to ignore something like gravity. Yet how foolish do we appear to be when we ignore God's law? We live by God's law of sowing and reaping because we recognize that it cannot be changed. Sow apple seeds, reap apple trees. Sow discord with others, reap unpleasantness with others. Sow to the Spirit of God and reap eternal life. Our choices matter. No matter how small we may think some of them are, the harvest is coming. And so the question is, are you ready? Let me share with you in brief, what the Lord is seeking to get. He wants a broken heart. He wants someone who recognizes they cannot save themselves. He's looking for someone who recognizes they are a sinner in need of a Savior. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, there was a crowd of thousands who recognized just that. We can't save ourselves. Where do we go? And Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, you'll be forgiven and given the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you are able and understand the significance of standing outside of Christ, of the choice that you are making as you remain outside of Christ, be prepared to deal with the harvest. But if you are ready this morning to begin sowing seeds to the Spirit and reaping life eternal as a gift from God, then won't you come while we stand in sight?